until 11, Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
And here at the Andrew Love Centre this morning, it's a great pleasure to welcome Deputy Mayor of the City of Greater Geelong, Peter Murray. Peter, thank you very much for coming down to our broadcast here this morning.
It's a pleasure, Mitchell.
Nice to see you. Yeah, very well indeed. And I don't think I've actually interviewed you as a councillor yet. I think the last time we spoke, you were still running and was obviously successful, but that was actually some time ago now, wasn't it?
That's over 2 years, I think.
Yeah, so how's the term been that you've been obviously going through? You had a brief term in the last council and you've come back as a councillor this time around as deputy mayor. How have you found that?
Really enjoyable. The first term gave me a little taste for it. And then re-elected again. It's exciting, and certainly the change from the previous council to this council is a lot. So really enjoying it.
It's obviously a steep learning curve, but I'd imagine that'd be well and truly behind you now.
Oh, I don't think it's ever behind me. it's certainly a steep learning curve for everybody within council, and especially councillors. And every day there's something new. And something to learn and new experiences.
So we're down here at the Andrew Love Centre this morning, and this is a great local story with the Bowen Health Foundation being able to raise $4.1 million, and that is transforming lives, as we just heard from Kylie, making the treatment process a lot easier for people with cancer.
Oh, yeah. Look, we know how the community is just fantastic in Geelong, and any causes like these, they always throw their weight behind it. So this is no different, and of course, cancer treatment, we've all been touched in some way by it, and we really have to support this.
Mm. Now, the budget consultation, we bumped into you down at the Bellarine Village Shopping Centre in Newcombe on Saturday, which was a surprise. I mean, it wouldn't have been a surprise if I'd bothered to read where the councillors were, but given that I get to speak to Bruce or someone else at least once a month, it's not a great novelty for me to be able to bump into councillors. But I'm sure a lot of other people would love the opportunity to speak to their local councillors. So it was you with Eddie Contell and Sarah Mansfield, the Brownville Ward councillors down there. What have people in the community been coming up to you and saying in response to the budget?
Yeah, well, this is the first time we've done it. We've gone out to different places within our area. To be quite honest, they don't want to speak about the budget too much. They just wanted to speak about general council things that probably could be fixed. Footpaths, trees, overhanging in trees, back lanes that need cleaning up. There's certainly, two or three that wanted to speak about the budget. But overall, it was just a great opportunity for the councillors to be out there and for people to see that we're out there and that they can converse. If they've got any problems, just let us know.
Yeah, the budget sort of unfortunately gets a little bit lost with the federal budget and the federal election and the state budget. It's budget season at the moment, so there's so many budgets and numbers floating around for people to digest. But obviously the council budget is very important.
Well, absolutely. But, I think that the average punter on the street is, they're confident that the council and the budget is well looked after, so they're not involving themselves with what is actually involved in the budget, I guess. Yeah.
So one of the changes to the budget involves a bit of a boost to the grant programs. It says here the council has allocated more than $8.3 million to the Community Investment Support Fund, and people are able within the community to go out and seek grants. What sort of projects would be eligible for grants under this scheme?
Well, it's the sporting clubs, but they've been, I guess, been there the whole time. But there's a heritage funds available in there, arts. So there's three areas that are available, and they can receive up to $50,000 for planning or $350,000 to deliver the capital works. So that's a broadened program, grants program than what we normally had. So. Plenty available, and just on that, Mitchell, the applications, it opens on the Friday the 7th of June and through to Friday the 2nd of August.
So Friday the 7th of June is next Friday, isn't it? And because this Friday is, I think, already June. You've got some consultation or information sessions where people can actually go to learn about the application process. So there's one at the Courthouse Youth Arts Centre where we've done a program from before, coming up, that's tomorrow from 10 till 12, but there's a couple of other ones as well.
Yeah, also the City Hall tomorrow evening between 6 and 8, and the 5th of June out at Leupold Community and Learning Centre at the evening. And then on Thursday, the 6th, the Baptair Coast Haven Community Hub in Nor Lane. So if you're a member of a club or some sort of community group and you think you might be eligible for these community grants, have a look and get along to these information sessions.
Yeah. And the planning process that you mentioned of the $50,000 potentially for that is quite important, because I think to give these projects the best chance of actually getting the grant, you've got to do a clear business case, and you've got to be sort of head and shoulders above the competitive grants, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what we're finding now, that you have to have the master plan, or whatever plan you want to call it, so yep. You can call it master plan, done first, and the work scoped and budgeted to know how much is available.
Now, how's the hard rubbish side of things going? The trial is well and truly underway. I was walking around Geelong West on Sunday and noticed a few things out on the nature strip.
Yeah, where they shouldn't be.
Yes.
Look, I think we've had about 5,000 collections to date.
Amazing.
Yeah, so big, big numbers, and they're still well in advance. The bookings are really well, but obviously there's the odd one that's going to leave it out on the nature strip, which they shouldn't be doing. It should be behind the property line. But I think the council is still taking those that left on the nature strip, but if you're out there listening and you have booked in, behind the property line, not on the nature strip.
I see. Do you have any idea yet as to what the most common items are that are being thrown out? TVs, fridges, couches?
I think there's a few couches that have disappeared over the last couple of months. Look, I've seen a few. It varies. It's amazing what people have kept in their backyard for a few years.
Mm. Yeah. And garage. Now they put their cars back in.
Yeah, that's right.
There was a sort of half a couch sort of dumped in our street for a while, but that seems to have just disappeared overnight. So I'm not sure if that's hard rubbish or what that was, but it's gone. In terms of, there's been some reports around bullying in the newspaper, and I appreciate that you can't necessarily comment on what's still being investigated, but just what's the culture like with this council versus the previous council? Because we all know the council was obviously sacked. How is the council performing now, just in your experience?
I think we're going well. Oh, look, we're enjoying each other's company. We get along well. There's certainly no issue of bullying within the councillors and broadly across the organisation. I've seen no evidence of it. And to pick up the Advertiser a couple of weeks and read that story, I was really, really disappointed about that. But we're a large organisation. The numbers are huge with the employees, so there may be small pockets there. But I think our CEO is across everything that's been happening, and got every confidence it'll be worked out.
Federal election implications for the council, are there any, or is it just business as usual, regardless of which side of politics forms government? It was a bit of a surprise that the incumbents were re-elected to a lot of political pundits, but does that change anything at a local level?
No, it's still business as usual, and it's a great question because
you've got your checklist from the Geelong Advertiser.
Yeah, look
there
at that. The full list of coalition pledges for Corangamine. Tick them off when they're done. I love that.
Could be a while.
So we'll put that on the council wall and we'll tick them off as they're delivered, which I guess some of the responsibility will fall back on council to deliver that.
I noticed that the first item that's there, I think, is the $2 billion for the fast rail. So that could be a fair while, possibly 8 to 10 years away. So that piece of paper that you've got there is going to be looking pretty yellow and a bit faded by then.
Yeah, look, I've got this feeling that I know people say that, you know, it'll never happen. It's just, pie in the sky. But I've got a feeling that it'll be a lot sooner than what people imagine.
Well, let's hope so. In terms of your term more broadly, I see that you brought with you a bit of a list as to what's been happening in Brownville Ward while you've been on council. I'd just be curious as to what you think the big achievements have been from your perspective as a Brownville Ward councillor as well as deputy mayor.
Well, certainly Brownville encompasses the CBD, and if you drive into town, you haven't been in Geelong for a little while, a few months, or even 12 to 18 months, and you see the cranes in the air, there's certainly a fair bit happening within the CBD. And the progress in there, of course, we've had the two issues with the free parking, which has been resolved. So that'll be the trial for...
When does that start?
In December.
Okay, yeah.
So trial for 12 to 18 months, I think it is.
Have we worked out the detail, or is that still in progress, about how that works and how it's enforced and all that sort of thing?
Good questions.
We don't know. Okay, that's all right. I know with some in Melbourne, for example, it just gives you a free ticket if you're not paying and it'll take the time off. But there is talk about using app technology, I saw, and changing the nature of it. So we'll wait for that.
Yeah, we'll wait for that. The details yet to be resolved. Yeah,
that's right. See. Yeah. Anything else on your radar? I mean, I see you've got stuff from all over the different suburbs on that list.
Yeah, well, these are perhaps what's happening in the budget for the Brownbill Ward, yes. You know, coming up. So the 1920, Bell Park, Bell Post Hill Enhanced Learning Centre, $2 million. St Albans Football Club, $1 million for their change room upgrade. Osborne House Remediation, $1 million. The North Geelong Football, Netball and Cricket Club, $700,000. And Western Oval, $300,000 to complete their design, the master plan for that. So, and look, there's many others too on the list here, but we don't need to go through them all. But and certainly tonight, even tonight at council with
what's on the agenda for tonight?
Well, we've got the master plan coming back from the yacht club.
Yes,
and if that gets ticked off tonight, that would release $3 million from the council and state funds as well, and that would start the wave attenuator works from there. So that's exciting.
Yep. Yeah. I've seen the pictures of that. Looks great.
It does.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being with us this morning here at the Andrew Love Centre. Very informative discussion as always. And we'll hopefully catch up again sometime soon.
Thanks for it.
Deputy Mayor Peter Murray there. We'll take a break and more to come from Andrew Love in a moment on 94.7 The Pulse.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.